For the first time in many years, a man traveled from his rural town to the big city to attend a movie. After buying his ticket, he stopped at the concession stand to purchase some popcorn. Handing the attendant $11.50, the man couldn't help but comment, "The last time I came to the movies, popcorn was only 15 cents. "Well, sir," said the attendant with a grin, "you're really going to enjoy yourself. We have sound now." We are in uncharted territory with the coronavirus, and thus we've chosen to record our service for today. You may really enjoy yourself since you can listen to it in your pajamas. I want to continue my sermon series titled, "Why, God, Why?" If you missed parts 1 and 2, you can listen to them on our website. Thomas Ord tells the following story. "My friend Ty fell from a ladder while hanging Christmas lights. His head slammed into the sidewalk. He cracked ribs, broke an arm, and lay unconscious for who knows how long. A neighbor found Ty in a heap and rushed him to a Cincinnati hospital. Kayla was Christmas shopping at the time, struggling to find joy in a normally festive season. 2 weeks earlier, she'd lost her second baby as a stillborn. Shopping was a coping mechanism. As Ty slept in the hospital, tubes jutting from his face and arms, Kayla sat next to him, wondering if anyone cared. She felt alone, like an immigrant in a strange land. Ty was her rock when life turned chaotic, and now her rock needed an anchor. Kayla's extended family were disconnected and rarely showed concern. She wasn't expecting support from them. She and Ty found a few friends after coming to town, but they were not yet close. Kayla had no one to call, no one to tell." As the hospital TV droned, emotions Kayla had been dodging emerged full force. She'd been smothering those feelings with shopping, food, and Netflix. Now sitting alone, feeling alone, Kayla felt darkness shutting out the light. "Does anyone care?" she wondered. "Really care? More than pity posts on Facebook?" Perhaps some of you have felt like Kayla felt before. We need to change our thinking and our living. The first week of our series, I explained why we need to believe God cannot prevent evil single-handedly. Believing God can't prevent evil moves us past thinking God causes or allows pain, tragedy, and abuse. We shouldn't blame God for the evil God can't prevent. Last week, I shared that God works to heal, always. God works alongside complex creatures, simpler entities, and the conditions of existence to heal to the greatest extent possible. Sometimes creatures don't cooperate or conditions aren't accommodating, and I talked about while God's love does not control us or others, His love is always influencing and seeking to move things in the direction of healing. Healing can sometimes come instantaneously, sometimes over time, or sometimes only at our death. The next idea I invited you to consider I invite you to consider now is that God feels our pain. God is neither aloof nor indifferent, not a distant stepfather nor an absentee mother. God relates intimately with survivors of evil, and God feels what they feel. In other words, God really cares. Perhaps the best word to describe God feeling our pain is empathy. Those who empathize feel with the casualties or agony, loneliness, and violence of others. They bear and share the suffering of others. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, carry or bear one another's burdens. Psychologist Breen Brown says empathy involves listening, holding space, withholding judgment, emotionally connecting, and communicating the incredibly healing message, you are not alone. Empathy is different from pity. To pity is to feel sorry for others at a distance. The one who pities remains detached and says, "Oh, that's just too bad for her," or "Ain't that a shame," or "Bless your heart," or "Sucks to be him." By contrast, empathy engages in emotional unity. Empathizers experience deep down the pain of others. They care emotionally. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke's Gospel. Jesus said the Good Samaritan was filled with compassion. Jesus' story not only calls us to show compassion on others, but also as a reflection of God's compassion. God is always present, always affected, and always loving. God empathizes to the utmost. God feels what we feel. The Apostle Paul says it this way, "The God of all consolation who consoles us in all of our afflictions. Consoling is not pity from afar, but rather empathy through presence. God responds to all that is negative, frustrating, and painful with resilient hope. God feels our pain and can handle it because he is present with us." Marcy struggled with her when her husband was wrongly imprisoned. And after 3 years of trying to fight, she said, "Our trial ended in a guilty verdict. It was totally unbelievable." Marcy was tempted to turn away from God, but she realized God may not be able to control what was happening. "The only way we could look at the verdict was to say it wasn't from God," she says. Friends and family asked what she planned to do. They wanted to fight. They wanted justice for us, says Marcy. But justice in this country is expensive. Marcy believed God was telling her to be still. This meant accepting God's care and consolation. "We need to fall into the loving arms of the Father," she said. Marcy had to make decisions for her family without her husband. The fight to save her children began by asking God for help. She said her middle daughter had been damaged deeply by the loss of her daddy. Marcy believed her daughter most needed to dance. So she sent an email to a school and explained her situation. The school responded with a full scholarship to attend dance camp. "God was loving my daughter," says Marcy. "That first dance camp was the beginning of her healing," end quote. An empathetic God not only feels our suffering, but also prompts others to love in specific ways. The God of empathy and compassion constantly loves us. Our divine parent is always involved, but never controlling. God gives space, listens deeply, and works with creation to bring about good. Our source gives freedom of choice without micromanaging and manipulating. This God relates in give and receive relationships for our personal good and the common good. I want to turn from the idea that God always feels our pain to the idea that sometimes we can feel God's love. Notice I use the words always and sometimes. We can believe God always empathizes even if we only sometimes feel God's love. Thomas Ord tells of receiving an email from Amy. Amy wrote that she did not feel close to God. She wanted to, but felt nothing. No warm blanket of affection, no rush of excitement, no sense of personal comfort, nothing. Amy believes in God. She thinks God is the source of her conscience, her knowing right from wrong. Amy drops her son off at the Methodist church so he can develop a moral compass, but she doesn't feel in her heart what she believes in her head. "How does one feel God?" she asked in her email. "I think I need that," she said. In addressing Amy's question, he began by saying, "Feeling God doesn't mean actually touching God. We can't perceive God with our five senses because God is a universal spirit. When people say they feel God, they're not talking about fingertip sensations or cuddling," end quote. Feeling God involves institutions and non-sensory perceptions. These sometimes stir our emotions. John Wesley, an Anglican priest, called such perceptions spiritual sensations because the spirit communicates without engaging our five senses. This is true in things like speaking in tongues, for example. Also, there are emotional differences among humans. Highly emotional people are more likely to say they feel God, while less emotional people are less likely. Amy admitted she often suppresses her emotions. She never cries during movies, rarely gets chills listening to music, and seldom gets warm fuzzies around her son. "I'm less emotional than other people," Amy concluded. "Why is that?" Ord asks. Amy said she's been hurt deeply in the past, and stuffing her emotions was a way of coping. Suppressing emotions is helpful for her at work in the military, too. Amy wants to feel God's love, but she doesn't know how. So how do we have a chance to feel God's love and empathy? I think there are six ways we can do that. I won't go into detail to all these ways, but simply to let you know what they are. The first is therapy. The comfort Christian counselors can give has its source in the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. A therapist's physical presence can be the conduit of God's spiritual presence for those in pain. Therapists can act as Christ's empathetic heart. Books, podcasts, and videos can also be therapy resources. Another way people feel God's love is in a relational community of compassionate people. Many have found St. Anne's to be such a community. While some churches can be like Noah's Ark, their animals dump a lot of crap. Members muck the stalls and clean the cages 24/7. But true relational communities express God's empathetic love. Some time ago, Larry's wife had an affair with a high school boyfriend, and she left Larry. Larry lost everything in the divorce, so he moved into an apartment. "I had no close friends," he wrote. "I felt lonely to the point of contemplating suicide." Larry's therapist recommended a men's group at his church. The guys became the center of his reconstruction. They prompted Larry, as he puts it, to take my spiritual life more seriously. He joined the church that focused on positive thinking, joy, and acceptance. "One day, something extraordinary happened," said Larry. "I suddenly felt my heart filling with joy in a way I had never experienced. It was a beyond words moment." Larry felt deep down God's love. His relationships and community made that experience possible. Another way people might experience God's love is through meditation, reflection, and mindfulness. It's an actual practice of careful attention to God and to life. The natural world around us can be an arena for feeling God's love. I've heard some people say that nature is their church. Naturalist John Muir describes a spiritual experience he had in Yosemite. He concluded his experience by saying, "Thanks be to God for this immortal gift." Some people feel God's presence through art, music, and movies. I remember driving somewhere one time and I was listening to the music of Edward Elgar's Pomp, Pomp, and Circumstance. I had a vision of heaven while I was driving, and I felt the presence and love of God in a profound way. Sometimes the hymns and songs we sing in church lift my very soul to God. The movie The Ten Commandments often brings me into the presence of God. The final way I want to talk to you about, in which people feel the love and presence of God, is in a person's love for children and their child's love for them. One of the most common analogies of God's love is a parent's love. Lindy put her 2-year-old son to sleep one evening and returned to her checklist of things she needed to do. As she was on her computer, she heard her son crying. She walked into the nursery to discover he dropped his pacifier. "I picked him up," said Lindy, "gave the pacifier to my son, and pulled him to my chest and began rocking. Instinctively, I whispered, 'It's okay, I've got you.' At that moment," said Lindsay, "I heard God speak those words to me. 'It's okay, I've got you.' I felt from God the same calm and comfort I was giving my son. So I allowed God to hold me." When I was in California, I ran a program like one we have in our diocese called Happening. Our team shared the Word of God and the love of God with those teens. And they felt that they came alive in their faith. As that happened, I felt a closeness and a thankfulness to God that I had rarely experienced. So we can experience the presence of God through many different ways, through many different methods. So far in this series, I've suggested that God cannot prevent evil single-handedly because of God's uncontrolling love, but that God can influence, move, inspire, and guide us into making right choices and combating evil. I suggested that God's will is to heal us, and that He often does that by working in conjunction with people and situations. He seeks our ultimate good as we cooperate with His love and healing wishes. Because God loves us, He wants to remind us that He feels our pain and empathizes with us in our struggles. We can sometimes feel or experience His love in various ways and people. All these things point to a God who loves us relentlessly. When you come to experience the love of God in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, your life will truly be changed. I'd like to pray for you right now, if you wouldn't mind. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us to experience your empathy and your comfort, your presence in our lives, knowing that you care deeply for us, that you feel our pain, and that you are there to comfort us with a comfort that only you can give us. Lord, help us to realize that we can experience your presence in many different ways. Lord, help us to be sensitive to those ways so that we might draw closer to you and experience from you the love that you so freely give to us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.